the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's Christmas time, and President Trump already knows what he wants from Santa. A big, shiny border wall. Although, let's be honest, Santa is not going to give it to him. Because if there's one person who's on the naughty list, it's Trump. Yeah, Santa's like, oh, you've been a naughty boy this year, Donald. You put children in cages.
He's like, oh, yeah, I've been so naughty. I've been a bad boy.
Are you making this sexual? What is wrong with you?
Spank me, Santa. Spank me with the naughty list.
Hold up.
But because Trump's not going to get his wall from Santa, he only has one other option. Negotiate with the Democrats.
President Trump clashing with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer over border security during an explosive sit-down.
Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, together with the president, clashed big time over border wall funding. With a December 21st deadline to avoid a government shutdown, the clock is ticking.
The clock is ticking and you send in Donald Trump? Why would you send Donald Trump in to defuse a bomb? He's going to make it worse.
He'd be like, there are 270 seconds left on the countdown. Just like the 270 votes I got in my tremendous electoral college. Did I tell you about the time when it happened? Don't worry about this. Let me tell you about the time they said I couldn't do it, folks.
But yes, Trump is demanding $5 billion for a border wall. And as you can imagine, Democrats would rather release Obama's original Kenyan birth certificate than give Trump that wall money. Which is why this meeting turned into an absolute mess.
You want to shut it down. You keep talking about it.
The last time, Chuck, you shut it down.
No.
And then you opened it up very quickly.
20 times.
I don't want to do what you did.
You have the vote. You should pass it.
No, we don't have the vote, Nancy, because in the Senate we need 60 votes.
No, but in the House.
And we don't
have. You could bring it up right now.
Yeah, but I can't. Excuse me.
Not threaten to shut down the government.
Because
let me just finish. Because you can't get your way.
If we have border security. If we don't have border security, Chuck, we're not going to keep it up.
Let me.
You just said it is effective.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, you just said
without a wall,
House Democrats who just won a big victory.
Elections have consequences, Mr. President.
Let me just say,
and that's why the country is doing so well.
You can do border security without a wall, which is wasteful and doesn't solve the problem.
It totally solves the problem, and we've gained in the Senate. Nancy, we've gained in the Senate. Excuse me, did we win the Senate? We won the Senate.
When the president brags that he won North Dakota and Indiana, he's in real trouble.
Okay. Why does Chuck Schumer keep talking to the camera? They're having an argument, and he's like a character in an episode of The Office. He's like, now the president is doing this right now. And my favorite part of this awkward threesome was Mike Pence. Because you might not have even noticed him. Because he didn't say a word the entire time. He just sat there motionless. Like a guy whose edibles just kicked in. Anyway, this meeting went on for a while, and by the end, they hadn't come any closer to an agreement. And the reason there was so much bickering wasn't just the wall, right? It's that if they don't agree on a government funding bill, it could lead to a partial government shutdown, right? Which would mean things like the FDA would stop inspecting food plants, right? The SEC would halt new investigations, and hundreds of thousands of government workers wouldn't get paid. Like everything from the FBI agents all the way to the TSA. Yeah, and if the TSA doesn't get paid, that might put them in a bad mood. Yeah, that's right. You've been seeing them in a good mood. So needless to say, no politician wants to take the blame for a government shutdown. But Donald Trump is not a politician. Donald Trump is a moron.
Yes, Donald Trump is a moron. Trevor Noah, you got that one right. Welcome to a Wednesday. Yeah, it's Wednesday, the middle of the week, but a busy day, a lot going on. I am Nicole Sandler. Thank you for joining us here for the live show at NicoleSandler.com, on our YouTube feed, on our TuneIn stream, or perhaps you're listening at 6 in the afternoon Eastern on Progressive Voices, or maybe you're listening on Netroots Radio or FYI Nation or somewhere else, however you, or the podcast at your convenience. However you listen, I thank you for doing so, and thank you for supporting this program. Wow, it's been a whirlwind of 24 hours or so. Oh yes, a fucking moron. You're right. That's what he is. Anyway, I was thinking about Trump. Unfortunately, it's hard to not think about him because he's there. It's just life in America in 2018, sadly. Hopefully in 2019, the Trump era will somehow come to an end. And perhaps we're headed in that direction with today's sentencing of Trump's long-term attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen. But I'm still thinking about the meeting inside the Oval Office yesterday, you know, with Chuck and Nancy. One thing I keep coming back to is Donald Trump claims, like everything else he claims, it's false, but he claims that he's the best negotiator in the world. This is why he was supposedly qualified for this job, because he's a great negotiator. He wrote The Art of the Deal with help from, you know, a ghostwriter, but that's besides the point. He's Mr. Negotiations, supposedly. So I found it interesting, as I was cutting up the audio from the Oval Office meeting yesterday, to go to Trump's negotiating skills with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer over this bullshit wall that he wants to erect. And here's what his argument in his negotiations came down to.
If we don't get what we want one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government. Okay.
It's like, if I don't get my way, I'll hold my breath till my face turns blue, because he's in second grade. That's his mentality. And I think I'm giving him more credit than he actually deserves. Just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt here. You know, everything about this man is phony. Everything about him is a fake. It's a ruse. It's a scam. It's a sham. And all those people who are, you know, I know Jason in the chat room. He didn't write anything. He paid a ghostwriter. He's just a media manipulator. That's a good way to put it. His negotiation skills come down to, it's either my way or shutting down the government, I guess, is the president's equivalent to, I'll hold my breath till my face turns blue. Personally, I'd rather see him hold his breath till his face turns blue and then forget to take that breath in again and let nature take its course. But, you know, that's just me. Anyway, it was a busy day today. There's a lot of news. So we'll get to what's news in just a moment. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, our guest today is the wonderful Jackie Schechner. Now, most of us first met Jackie back a few years ago when she was working on the Stephanie Miller Show, when they were broadcast on Current TV. Jackie was the news person on Current, and she sort of made it. It was during the fight over the Affordable Care Act, and Jackie made it her mission to really be the most informed person on the planet about Obamacare. And she still, I think, keeps up with it. But these days, she's actually working as the caretaker of the website investigaterussia.org. She's the, the person behind the Committee to Investigate Russia. And basically, they send out a newsletter each night with that day's update on what happened. Now, if you listen to the show regularly, you know I don't spend a whole lot of time on Russia because, frankly, I'm not big on conjecture. I'm not big on speculation. I believe in reporting facts. When something happens, then, you know, there are facts in the news. You can read it in a newspaper. Shit happens, and we report on it. But the problem with this Russia investigation is it's not really a problem. It is only for, you know, people who want instant gratification and don't understand. You have to wait for, in this case, Robert Mueller to finish his investigation and put out his report or otherwise, you know, give his findings of the investigation to find out what he knows. Because what we do know is that Mueller doesn't leak. Mueller's team doesn't leak. The only things that have come from the Mueller investigation, the Mueller team, are things that he wants us to know, like the sentencing memos that they released Friday night. We'll talk to Jackie Schechner about all of that. And of course, since open enrollment period ends on Saturday, if you get your insurance through the Affordable Care Act, as I do, we're running out of time. Of course, the Trump administration has cut the budget for any kind of marketing or advertising to even let people know that it's open enrollment time. So anyway, of course, I can't have Jackie Schechner on the show and not ask her about the latest when it comes to Obamacare, because try as he might, Trump hasn't been able to kill it yet. Not dead yet. Yeah. Sorry, that was my Monty Python imitation. Anyway, there's so much going on. It's time to get to the news. So much has happened since this morning when I recorded What's News. So we'll just...
We'll do it live. Okay. Fucking thing. We'll do it live. Ah. Fuck it. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
All right, I already wrote it. And okay, we'll do it live. God.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
And yes, we're doing it live. Donald Trump's former personal attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen, has been sentenced to 3 years in prison for financial crimes and lying to Congress. Cohen made an emotional, teary apology to the judge, William Pauley, taking responsibility for crimes that included tax violations, lying to a bank, and buying the silence during the 2016 campaign of women who alleged affairs with a future president. Cohen was also hit with a forfeiture of $500,000, restitution of $1.4 million. I wonder who he has to pay that to, and a fine of $50,000. Mm-hmm. As no cameras are allowed in federal courtrooms, we don't have the actual audio, but do have a transcript of some of what he said. Here's a taste of it. Quote, I take full responsibility for each act that I pled guilty to, the personal ones for me and for the President of the United States of America. I have been living in a personal and mental incarceration ever since the day that I accepted the offer to work for a real estate mogul whose business acumen that I deeply admired. I'm just reading it how it's written. Recently, the president tweeted a statement calling me weak, and it was correct, but for a much different reason than he was implying. It was because time and time again, I felt it was my duty to cover up his dirty deeds. Again, this is from Cohen's rather lengthy reportedly statement to the judge in the courthouse today before he was sentenced. He said, today is one of the most meaningful days of my life. The irony is that today I get my freedom back. Blind loyalty to this man, talking about Trump, led me to choose a path of darkness over light. Oh, if only we had a tape of the whole thing, I probably wouldn't play it either because it's probably too long. Anyway, Cohen is ordered to surrender himself to prison on March 6th. Now, it is notable that during this time between now and March 6th, Cohen is free to... keep cooperating with Mueller and with authorities, and they could still reduce his prison time more. In fact, I read somewhere today that John Dean was actually sentenced to 1 to 4 years, but never served a day because, again, he was so much help to the feds. So we'll see when Michael Cohen goes to jail. If I had to predict it, I'd say he's going to serve some serious time. According to a statement from Lanny Davis, who was Cohen's attorney, but is now apparently only serving as Michael Cohen's communications advisor. It appears that Michael Cohen will spend the next 3 months before heading to jail telling Robert Mueller everything he possibly can about Trump in hopes that Mueller can get him a reduced sentence. That's what I just said. But Lanny Davis has more authority than I do, I suppose. In related news, this broke in just the last few hours. The Southern District of New York has reached a non-prosecution agreement with American Media, Inc. You remember AMI, the National Enquirer's parent company. They have admitted to prosecutors that they made the $150,000 payment to Karen McDougal. This is a quote, in concert with the Trump campaign, in order to ensure that the woman did not publicize damaging allegations about the candidate before the 2016 presidential election. That's huge news. David Pecker, that's really his name. Sorry, the owner of the National Enquirer. His name is David Pecker. Can't make this stuff up. I'm not that creative. Anyway, it looks like Pecker is turning on Trump. Who knew? All right. So that's the latest. Of course, we'll get more from Jackie Schechner when she joins us at the bottom of the hour. So divided government, here we come. It was the Donald, Chuck, and Nancy show yesterday. The three sparred over Trump's signature campaign promise, the border wall.
The likely incoming House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, and the Democratic leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, went to the Oval Office today to negotiate with Trump over a bill to fund the government and avert a shutdown on December 21st. Trump is insisting on $5 billion in funding for his mythical border wall, which Democrats say is a non-starter. Besides, isn't Mexico going to pay for that wall? Anyway, ahead of that meeting today, Trump got up early to tweet a series of lies, including that Democrats do not want border security. They want open borders.
Right.
The lies only continued once the president started talking.
Tremendous amounts of wall have already been built. And a lot of wall when you include the renovation of existing fences and walls. So we've done a lot of work on the wall. A lot of wall is built. A lot of people don't know that.
He's right. A lot of people don't know that because he made it up. Not an inch of what Trump calls his wall has been built. Not one inch. The closest we've seen to a new wall has been the start of construction on what are called bollard barriers, which are not yet complete.
Okay.
The George W. Bush administration erected bollard barriers, too. So did the Obama administration. They called them fencing. In reality, construction on a new section of border barrier has not yet begun and won't this year.
That's Ali Velshi, who's filling in for Chris Hayes this week. And I always enjoy Ali Velshi. He's got just the right amount of snark. Anyway, Schumer and Pelosi called out Trump's lies. They lectured him about the legislative process and reiterated to him that he lacked the votes to secure the $5 billion he's seeking for the wall. Trump, proving that his negotiating skills are not, as he claims, the best, they're virtually non-existent.
None of us have
you
said
you want to know something?
You've said
okay,
it.
Okay, you want to put that
you've
on my...
You've said it.
I'll take it.
Okay, good.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay,
absolutely.
Fair enough.
And
we
I am
disagree.
Proud, and I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck, because the people of this country don't want criminals and people that have lots of problems and drugs pouring into our country. So I will take the mantle. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it. The last time you shut it down, it didn't work. I will take the mantle
good.
Of shutting down. And I'm going to shut it down for border security.
But we
security.
Believe you shouldn't shut it down.
You know what? He's such an
asshole.
Yes. He did show off his talent for making shit up, like this.
We need border security. People are pouring into our country, including terrorists. We have terrorists. We caught 10 terrorists
what?
Over the last very short period of time.
Very short 10. Period of time,
these
really?
These are very serious people.
What?
Our border agents, all of our law enforcement has been incredible what they've done. But we caught 10 terrorists. These are people that were looking to do harm. We need the wall. We need, more important than anything, we need border security, of which the wall is just a piece.
Okay, if you're wondering what he's talking about, he's making shit up. It's just another example of Trump's pathological lying. According to the most recent reporting from Trump's own State Department released in September, the number of terrorists entering the United States via Mexico is a whopping zero per ever. At year's end, there was no credible evidence indicating that international terrorist groups have established bases in Mexico, worked with Mexican drug cartels, or sent operatives via Mexico into the United States. I'm telling you, we need to get to the point when Trump lies like this, just blatantly makes shit up that people call him out. Now, Nancy Pelosi called him out on having enough votes in the House to pass $5 billion in funding for his bullshit wall. But reporters need to start doing it, too. They need to say, that's not true. Why are you making this up? Nancy Pelosi apparently had fun with the press after their big meeting yesterday. The Washington Post reporting that at a Democratic caucus meeting shortly after they left the White House, Nancy Pelosi said of Donald Trump's insistence on building this wall, quote, it's like a manhood thing for him, as if manhood could ever be associated with him, this wall thing. Good quote, Nancy. I like that. She also told colleagues that she was trying to be the mom in the room while Trump and Schumer bickered about the funding showdown. And she said this. This is a direct quote. I can't explain it to you. It was so wild. It goes to show you. You get into a tinkle contest with a skunk, you get tinkle all over you. Ew. Just saying. Yeah. Here's Nancy talking to the press.
I hear some of the... Fox reporters saying, why did we not want transparency in this discussion? We didn't want to contradict the president when he was putting forth figures that had no reality to them, no basis in fact. We have to, if we're going to proceed in all of this, have evidence-based, factual,
good luck.
Information about what works and what doesn't. I didn't want to, in front of those people, say, you don't know what you're talking about.
Why not? Because he didn't know what he was talking about. After the cameras left the room, Trump actually told Pelosi and Schumer that Mexico was going to pay for the wall. He said it was as part of the renegotiated NAFTA deal. Right. As of now, there will be a partial government shutdown on December 21st if a spending deal can't be reached. Billions of dollars in funding for a border wall is the sticking point on both sides. Again, couldn't make this shit up if I tried. Google's CEO, Sundar Pichai, I think is how you say his name, he answered questions yesterday at a House Judiciary Committee hearing. Congressman Steve King, remember him, the cantaloupe calves guy? Steve King of Iowa, the racist, one of a few in Congress, demanded the names of employees who work on Google's search algorithm, saying he wants to scour their social media to see if they're biased against conservatives. King said Republicans need to know who they are and look at their social media. Pichai said Google typically doesn't monitor its employees' social media and that they're allowed to have their own political opinions. And then he denied that Google search is biased against conservatives. One other moment that happened in the hearing with the Google guy yesterday that's worth listening to came from Zoe Lofgren of California, who asked this.
If you Google the word idiot under images, a picture of Donald Trump comes up.
Sure.
I just did that.
Good.
How would that happen? How does search work so that that would occur?
Yeah, well, Pichai gave a long technical answer, basically explaining how search works, but he reiterated that Google search is not biased in any way. And what I figure is if you put in Donald Trump into Google image search and it comes, I mean, I'm sorry, if you put idiot into Google image search and it comes up with a picture of Donald Trump, it got it right. What's the problem? The British government was thrown into chaos this morning after it was confirmed the prime minister will face a no confidence vote. I wish we could do that here. They're not happy with how she's governing. They say, well, we're going to have a no confidence vote. We're just going to kick you out of office. We got to wait till 2020. Anyway, the leadership challenge was instigated after 48 lawmakers from Theresa May's own Conservative Party issued letters of no confidence to officials. The vote will take place today. I don't know what time it is over there. I get all screwed up with time zone differences, but any time now. Lawmakers have expressed their fury at the deal Theresa May struck with European Union on the UK's exit from the EU, with fears that it would leave the country bound by EU's rules, but with no influence over them. She canceled a vote that was supposed to happen yesterday on the deal because it faced certain defeat. Here it is. OK, Conservative members of Parliament will vote between 6 and 8 p.m. local time. All right. That's 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern time. Okay, so it should have already happened. I'm going to have to look and see if there's any news. We'll see. Anyway, so that's what's happening over in the UK. In France, a huge manhunt is underway for a gunman who killed 3 people and injured 13 others at a Christmas market in the city of Strasbourg. Authorities, they've identified the suspect, but the last I heard, they were still searching for him. While France's deputy interior minister won't confirm reports that the suspect has terrorist motivations, the Paris prosecutor's anti-terror division is in charge of the investigation. So I guess it's not only here anymore. Well, gunfire. Anyway, the Senate was busy today. They voted, this is good news, actually, 50-49 to overturn a Trump administration treasury rule that exempts nonprofit groups from disclosing large donors to the IRS. Susan Collins joined the Democrats. The measure now heads to the House if it gets a majority there and Trump signs. That's a big if. The rule will be overturned. And finally, New York's new attorney general-elect, Letitia James, said she plans to launch sweeping investigations into Donald Trump, his family, and anyone in his circle who may have violated the law. This one she settles into her new job next month. Some of the probes she intends to pursue include any potential illegalities involving Trump's real estate holdings in New York. That June 2016 Trump Tower meeting with the Russians. She promises to examine government subsidies Trump received, to investigate whether he's in violation of the Emoluments Clause through his New York businesses, and continue to probe the Trump Foundation. She said, "We want to investigate anyone in his orbit who has, in fact, violated the law." That sounds like a good plan to me. All right, we'll take a quick break, check in with Brad and Desi for the latest Green News Report, and come back on the other side with Jackie Schechner of InvestigateRussia.org. Don't go away. It's Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. Whoops. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Hold on. My Green News Report thingy didn't play for some weird reason. Let me figure out why. Give me 1 second. This is where I play producer too. Oh, I see why, because I had the wrong date in there. Here we go.
It's Tuesday, December 11th, 2018.
So you have 3 actors conspiring, some might say colluding, to get in the way of this very important agreement.
Axis of oil. U.S. joins forces with Saudi Arabia and Russia to block action at UN climate talks in Poland. U.S. fossil fuel event at conference draws laughter, plus youth climate protesters from Poland to the halls of Congress pressure politicians to act on climate change.
All of that pressure and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Energy innovation and fossil fuels will continue to play a leading role. Energy access.
Who's laughing at the U.S. now, Mr. President? This is your Green News Report.
I hope you'll give us a chance.
Okay, Desi Doyen, before we get to the news out of the COP24 conference in Poland, we've got news out of France.
Yes, French President Emmanuel Macron on Monday canceled a planned hike in fuel taxes that sparked weeks of violent protests over economic inequality, declining living standards, and stagnant wages.
Wow, protests actually work in France.
Yes, they do. Despite false reporting by right-wing media in the United States, the yellow vest protesters say they are actually in favor of environmental measures to combat pollution and climate change. But they said that the fuel tax increase was the last straw among several Macron economic policies that fall disproportionately on low and middle income families.
So they weren't actually chanting, "We want Trump," like Donald Trump said they were?
No, they were not.
Huh.
Meanwhile, the U.S. is acting as a spoiler at the annual United Nations climate talks now underway in Poland to determine the rule book for the historic International Paris Agreement to cut global emissions. Although President Trump intends to withdraw from the accord in 2020, the U.S. is still a party to the negotiations. Over the weekend, just four countries out of nearly 200, the U.S., Saudi Arabia, Russia, and Kuwait, banded together to block one sentence acknowledging a recent Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report warning that we have just 12 years to cut global emissions in half to avoid irreversible climate impacts.
So they banded together because they didn't want that sentence in there warning about the 12 years we have left to work this out?
Exactly. Blocking inclusion of the report prevents it from being used in the negotiations. All four countries control the global oil supply, and according to U.S. climate scientist Dr. Michael Mann, in an interview with the BBC, they're all conspiring to undermine the agreement.
At this point, those countries have to decide if they're going to get on board with this transition, with this economic revolution, or if they're going to get left behind at the station. And unfortunately, a small number of countries are instead focused on their own short-term financial interests at the expense of the larger interests of this planet.
But youth climate activists managed to temporarily halt the Trump administration's side event at the conference, intended to promote the same fossil fuels that cause man-made climate change. They mocked U.S. officials with laughter.
It is clear that energy innovation and fossil fuels will continue to play a leading role.
And then chants. Scientists say that two-thirds of the world's remaining fossil fuels must remain in the ground and unburned for us to have a chance at keeping global temperatures from rising more than 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. Here in the U.S., youth climate activists with the Sunrise Movement also launched a similar protest in the halls of Congress on Monday. They're pressuring Democratic leaders to take aggressive steps to confront climate change equal to what climate scientists say is necessary to avoid catastrophic climate impacts. Sunrise Movement protesters called on Democratic lawmakers to support a draft proposal from Democratic Congresswoman-elect Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for a Green New Deal, a suite of policies to create jobs while also cutting U.S. carbon emissions by transitioning the nation and its infrastructure to 100% clean energy.
Sounds like these kids, whether they're out in Poland or here in the U.S., sounds like they mean business.
Yeah, they aren't stopping.
And I hope they don't, because the old people, like you and me, haven't gotten very far, so hopefully the kids will save us all.
And maybe this will help. A new report by the World Health Organization details the benefits to public health from meeting the goals of the Paris Agreement. The researchers calculated that tackling global warming would save more than 1 million lives every year globally from the reduction in fossil fuel air pollution alone.
Nah, it won't help. Studies don't help anymore. Only action does. For much more on all of these reports and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com.
We must keep it in the ground!
Find us, follow us, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Keep it in the ground!
Afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky?
But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
And we are back, and I'm thrilled to welcome back to the show Jackie Schechner. We got to know her for years on the Stephanie Miller Show and dealing with healthcare reform. And these days, it's all about investigating Russia. Hey, Jackie Schechner.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
same.
You know, these days it's a measured response to that question because, you know, things are crazy. The world is nuts. Our country is in peril. And with each little hint we get from, you know, Mueller's team, any little nugget of actual news, it's like, okay, please make this happen faster, because we need to have our sanity back. I don't know that Mueller is going to be able to restore our sanity, but I think right now he's our best bet.
Yeah, I like to remind people that this is so complicated that it's going to take time. Mm-hmm. And I know we all wanted to be wrapped up yesterday, but I think it's actually encouraging news that Mueller is taking his time. And he's so deliberate that he's making sure to cross all his T's and dot all his I's and make sure all the ducks are in a row before he goes after the president of the United States in documentation and court filings and things like that. So I think it's just important to keep in mind that as exhausted as we all are waiting for something to happen, there is some good news in the fact that it is taking a while because we can count on Mueller doing what we know he's going to do based on who he is. And that's doing it right.
Right. The other thing to keep in mind is in the grand scheme of things, for an investigation like this, it hasn't been going on that long. I mean, look how long the Whitewater, in what started as the Whitewater investigation, look how long that went on. That was like 3 years or so, or it seemed that long. Look how long they investigated Benghazi, for God's sake. I mean, right? I mean, Republicans are screaming this is going on forever, but in reality, no, it isn't. These things take time.
I think because the stakes are so high here that it just feels like forever. Mm-hmm. Because what we're waiting to find out is whether the president of the United States conspired with a foreign adversary to steal an American election. And so it's important. I mean, it's not just important, it's dire, and it's integral to national security. So yeah, I mean, every day feels like a week and every week feels like a month, but it hasn't been as long as that. It's just that there's so much at stake that it does feel so important. And that it does feel heightened in every way.
Exactly. Now, the interesting thing is this week was the first time we really did get news from Mueller's office in the form of the Friday night sentencing memos that they released. There were some that came from the Southern District of New York, but some on both Michael Cohen and Paul Manafort came from Mueller's office. So it was the first time we actually heard anything from Mueller's office on these people. And it sounds like, according to Mueller, both Michael Cohen and Paul Manafort implicate Donald Trump in crimes.
Right. We've also got to consider Michael Flynn as well.
That's right.
You know, Cohen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cohen, we found out today, is going to serve 3 years in prison, primarily for the crimes that he committed, that he was charged in the Southern District of New York, the tax crimes, the payments, the campaign finance violations, all of that stuff that they charge there. He was charged with one count of lying to Congress, and that was through Special Counsel Mueller. I think he gets 2 months for that,
right,
and he'll serve it concurrently with the longer sentence. But what this all does is tell us that what Michael Cohen said to the Special Counsel was important, and that was that the president did have dealings with Russia, and that they were going on during the campaign, even though both Cohen and the president said otherwise. So that's really important there. Those were the two filings that you're talking about for Cohen, right? The
right.
first in the Southern District of New York, and then the other one with Special Counsel Mueller.
Right.
I mean, with Mueller. And then the other one we're talking about, Manafort breaching his plea agreement. That's another one that was interesting to find out. We found out that he repeatedly lied. And so we'll find out more about that. What's interesting that came out yesterday in another hearing was that Manafort's defense team asked for more time to review what it is, in fact, Mueller saying he lied about, and they may not contest it. So we're going to find out. It won't be till January. So we know at least this investigation is going to continue into the new year. But his defense team asked for more time from the court to review what it is he allegedly lied about, meaning either they want to try to formulate some sort of defense, or they've been lied to themselves,
right,
which is, of course, a possibility when you're dealing with a character like Paul Manafort.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Michael Flynn is concerned, and this is the interesting stuff that came out super late last night, is the special counsel's basically recommending that he doesn't serve any time. And his team is asking that he serves just probation because he's been so incredibly cooperative. They say it's been 19 different meetings, and I think it was more than 63 hours that he sat and contributed to what the special counsel is trying to figure out. So Flynn may not do time, but it sounds like he gave the special counsel and other government entities all the goods that they needed. So we don't know yet what that's going to be, what in the information was that he in fact gave him. But we're looking at now Cohen admitting that the president lied about his connections to Russia. We know that Manafort gave some information that the special counsel knows was false. Mm-hmm. And now we know that Flynn gave enough that the special counsel is willing to say he doesn't have to do time. So
right.
there's a lot of there. That we have now going into the end of this month, the beginning of next year.
Right. And those are the main players. And again, for those who haven't yet checked it out, the website investigaterussia.org puts together a great roundup of everything going on in this Russia investigation, tying all the different parts together. Jackie, I don't know how you do it because it makes my head explode. I mean, there are times
well, that's
it's just
why,
too much.
That's why we do it, right?
Uh-huh.
It's because you never know who to follow.
Right.
You never know who's on what. You know, there are some people, some reporters and correspondents, but day to day, there's so much news. So what we do is we aggregate it for you. We are all Russian news all the time, nothing else. So we aggregate on Twitter at investigateRU all the news that's coming out as it's coming out. And then we put up on the website all the stories that you need to know. And at the end of the day, we send out a daily briefing, which will give you everything you possibly could have missed,
mm-hmm.
Lead you back to the site. I love it. I mean, I'm really proud of the work that we're doing. I would like to continue to do it. And so I ask that if people like the site and like the daily briefing and like the Twitter feed, that we please try and help us out because we're in a drive to survive at the moment.
Absolutely.
I call it our December drive to survive.
I know how it goes. InvestigateRussia.org, again, is the website. And, I mean, you don't take any advertising, obviously. That would be
a
conflict of interest.
No, we had a private donor that we launched with, and that funding was budgeted to run through the midterms. And then, you know, now we're at a point where we're going to try and rely on our leadership and our followers and the people who value the work that we do to move forward. The idea was to try and wrap up at the midterms, assuming that things would be wrapped up by then.
Uh-huh.
But fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, they aren't. And I'd really like to keep going. I think that we provide a service and information that you can't find anywhere else. And I'm committed to it. And I have a very small team. And I use that term liberally because I have an amazing researcher. I do the bulk of the work. And then the money goes towards, you know, the resources we need to continue to make that happen, you know, our technical costs and so forth, legal accounting. But
mm-hmm.
Nobody's making any money. We're a nonprofit. We like to stay as nonpartisan as humanly possible, given the fact that we're talking about the Republican president of the United States.
Of course.
But that's the key. And just being the resource, not only to keep you in the loop, but also to get you caught up.
Right.
Nobody has time to follow it the way we do.
No. And that's why it's such a great resource. Again, it's investigaterussia.org. So, you know, I can keep up with the Cohens and the Manaforts and the Flynns and, you know, even Papadopoulos, who just got out of jail and said the most asinine thing about being in jail for 2 weeks and not knowing how long he was there. And he's just a strange man. Who I guess is trying to get back into Donald Trump's good graces if he ever was in them. But
he's also trying to do a docuseries with his wife. Have you seen this?
No.
Trying to put together like a reality
show. Oh, God. Yeah. Well, uh-huh. His wife has been going on TV and doing interviews and you're trying to play both sides, it seemed, against the middle to get him out of going to jail. And there it's a weird curiosity. So there's information on him in there as well. But there are other sort of what I call ancillary players, like Maria Butina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not up on her story. I mean, I know it's sort of like the American. She's a Russian, but she's not a spy. But she was over here, ostensibly at the doing the bidding of whoever in Russia. Although I guess Putin now put on a show, like pretending that he asked everybody if anybody knows who Butina is, and nobody knows anything about her. And what can you tell us about this woman?
Yeah, it's a fascinating story. So Maria Butina came over here originally as part of the Right to Bear Arms, which is allegedly a Russian pro-gun rights group, which is fascinating because no, Putin's not pro-gun.
Right.
They don't have the right. They don't have the right to bear arms in Russia.
No, they don't.
So it was really used as a front to get to cozy up to the NRA and to get close to conservative lawmakers and lobbyists and activists here in the United States, seeing where they could have some political influence by getting cozy with those people.
Mm-hmm.
And so Butina was involved and helped arrange a trip for some of the NRA leadership in 2015, where they met with the foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. I mean, she's got some high connections in the Kremlin and in government circles to be able to organize these sorts of meet and greets and conversations in Russia. She worked with a longtime Republican operative, Paul Erickson, who's her boyfriend, allegedly. They don't know. It's unclear whether they're actually a couple or whether she's using him. There's some allegations that that's, in fact, what's going on. But they were working together, and she's accused of being a Russian foreign agent, that she's was sent here to infiltrate conservative political circles and to get close to the Trump administration or the incoming Republican administration and to maneuver those relationships. She also has kind of a mentor slash handler slash benefactor, this man named Alexander Torshin, who was the head of the, I think it's sort of the equivalent of the Federal Reserve in Russia, who's suddenly retired. Now that all the spotlight's on Butina, he just recently retired, but he's got some alleged contacts to organized crime. I would encourage people, it's kind of a fun read. If you go to Investigate Russia and you search for Alexander Torshin,
okay.
Read up some of the stories about Torshin, his connections to the NRA, his connections possibly to Trump through the NRA. And they had a meeting with Donald Trump Jr. at the NRA convention during the campaign. I mean, this is Butina's connected. And so the fact that Putin came out, she's now going to plead, allegedly going to plead guilty. She signed a plea agreement. She's going to appear in court tomorrow morning and verbally plead guilty to acting as a foreign agent of Russia. We don't know what that means. Her father's saying she's not going to implicate anybody. We don't know what she's been offered. I don't know how safe she's going to be if she does, in fact, implicate anybody. I don't know what kind of time she'll serve, if she'll actually be deported. All of it's unclear. But Putin came out publicly and said that he asked all his spy people. They have no idea who she is. And that she's unknown to him, which is fascinating because the Russian government has done a lot of outreach on her behalf, including the foreign ministry launching a whole Free Butina social media campaign and changing its profile picture to a picture of her.
Wow.
So it's totally implausible that the Russian government doesn't have any idea who she is. When in fact they're lobbying to have her released. And I like to remind people too that Vladimir Putin is the same man who said that the two Russian military intelligence officers who were suspected and accused of poisoning Sergei Skripal and his daughter in England.
Mm-hmm.
He said that they were just citizens, Russian citizens, and he didn't know who they were. They were in the fitness industry, and he hoped that they came out publicly and declared their innocence when he knew full well that they were Russian military intelligence officers. So, you know, whenever Putin comes out and says he doesn't know anybody, you can assure yourself that he knows exactly who they are.
Maybe this is one of the things that ties Trump and Putin so closely together is their penchant for lying. Both of them are prolific.
Well, there is that. There is that. And one of the interesting, another interesting note, I say interesting a lot because it's also fascinating.
Uh-huh.
I tell people, if you're not into this, you should be. If you like CSI or SVU,
uh-huh.
any of these mysteries, like this is the greatest mystery that has been unfolding in our political arena, in our national security arena for the past few years. And it's real. And it's the twists and turns are amazing. But Butina asked a question of the president in Vegas years ago about how he would feel about relations with Russia and sanctions when he was running for office. Now, what are the odds that a Russian national who is an alleged, I don't know if she was in graduate school at the time. She did eventually become a graduate student at American University. But she happens to be in Vegas at this presidential event or candidate event and asks Trump a question. And she gets called on to ask a question about sanctions. I mean, it's all way curious.
Too convenient, right? Very convenient.
Very convenient. Yes. Yeah.
So you got to figure there's something else there. But she's going to plead guilty, and testify, who knows what can of worms that'll open. So that's happening tomorrow.
She's agreed to cooperate. It was supposed to happen today. It got pushed to tomorrow morning. I don't know why. There was no explanation for it. But she will verbally plead guilty. She's already signed the agreement, and she's agreed to cooperate. What that entails, I don't know. But I have to imagine that there was some offer given to her that makes it worth her while. She's been she's been holed up in prison. They've kept her. They consider her a flight risk. So she's been imprisoned since she was arrested.
Wow. I'm telling you, the whole Maria Butina story has gotten me interested in watching the TV show The Americans, which I hear is very similar. So
that one I think was closely related to the Anna Chapman story from years ago. And I don't watch The Americans, so I don't know. I can't speak to it. And this is enough for me. I don't need more Russian spies
right.
in my life.
Because you can get confused, too. You mix them up, and then you're really screwed. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but it's a good story. There are plenty of twists and turns. The connection to the NRA is fascinating, especially since the NRA gave President Trump $30 million during the campaign.
Which is much more than they've ever given any presidential candidate ever.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So where does the money come from? Why so much money? There's no indication that Trump personally is any more pro-gun than anyone else. So it's all a very curious connection.
Right. Jackie Schechner is with us. She's doing great work at the website InvestigateRussia.org for all your Russia curiosity needs to find out what we know about this investigation, keeping in mind that there's so much we don't know. But what seems to be the next maybe shoe to drop will happen around, I think, Roger Stone. And it's interesting that Mueller and his people have not interviewed Roger Stone. Do you think that means that he is a subject or a target or whatever the right legal term is?
Oh, 1,000%. There's no need to interview Roger Stone. He's a big fat liar.
Right. He's going to lie about everything.
I will do your listeners a public service.
Okay.
If you have Netflix and you have not yet watched Get Me Roger Stone, you should go do that now.
Really?
Do that tonight.
Really?
Oh, it's a great documentary. You didn't like it?
I didn't watch it because I'm like, I don't want to spend 2 hours with Roger Stone. I mean, I interviewed him once. That was more than enough for me.
No, it's good. It's
really?
Good because it tells you it's not a promo for him.
Okay.
It really gives you, he's so unaware of how smarmy he comes across that it gives you some real insight into Stone, into Trump, into Manafort. Into his background, what he believes in, how he feels about his loose relationship with the truth. I highly encourage people to watch it. I found it fascinating. And it doesn't paint Stone as a hero.
Oh, good.
And I know that there's a temptation to think that, to write it off because of that.
Yeah.
But it gave me a lot of insight into him, into Manafort, into Trump, and that relationship. And then the other two that I always recommend in conjunction with it is Active Measures, the one that just came out, which really breaks down in very easy to understand terms the connections between Russia and Trump over the years. And then the third one would be Icarus, which won the Academy Award last year for the best documentary, which is about, it starts out, you're not going to watch, you're watching from the beginning and you're like, I don't know why I'm watching this bike riding guy attempt to test the doping laws. You know, I mean, it starts out in one way, and it ends up going into the whole Russia doping scandal in the Olympics, and it takes a fascinating turn. So those are the three that I like to tell people. Like we all have free time these days.
Right. And then if you do have free time, I'm really enjoying The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
That's a totally different genre, but yeah.
Completely different. But I got to tell you,
I like that too.
We watched it in the first episode. Both my husband and I looked at each other and said, oh my God, I can't take this. The first episode was just not good, but it was the setup because I watched the next one and I was hooked. He's not watching it and I'm like binging the second season already. So just a little bit of an aside, but I thought, you need some enjoyment that is not related to this stuff in your life. Otherwise,
correct,
you go crazy like I've been.
So
the Roger Stone thing with Jerome Corsi just that whole crew that's so sleazy.
Oh, back to that. Yes. I do think I think it's very curious. So Roger Stone's been trying to get Donald Trump to run for president for decades.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he finally does it and Trump steps away. Stone steps away from the campaign.
Right.
I find that very curious. It's not clear whether he was fired or he quit. different stories. But then he and Trump stay in contact. They talk all the time. There's late night phone calls. I think the idea was Stone steps away. He handles the Russia stuff behind the scenes, and then he has plausible deniability. So I think, and he's not technically part of the campaign anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this was the real weird, sneaky way of trying to get away with whatever cooperation and conspiracy they had, and keeping Roger Stone separate and having him manage this particular dirty trick behind the scenes. Because it doesn't make any sense that this has been Stone's lifelong mission, and now Trump finally does it, and he's no part of it.
Right.
That just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So I think Corsi's involved. Meanwhile, Corsi's the guy who's behind the whole birther
of course.
Baloney.
Yep.
So that's what you're dealing with Corsi. Then you've got Julian Assange and WikiLeaks.
That was my next question. Oh my God.
Yeah, even Mike Pompeo, who we don't even know what team he's playing for these days, you know, even he has turned around and said that WikiLeaks is essentially an arm of the Russian government
in this
regard. So you've got WikiLeaks, you've got Julian Assange, you've got Jerome Corsi, you've got Roger Stone, you've got the Guccifer 2.0 connection. And if you're curious about all this, by the way, we also have a glossary on the site that you can look up these terms. We explain everything for you. If you're confused about who everybody is and how they're all connected, it's all in there. But yeah, I mean, I think that that's the angle we haven't seen yet. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's the next to come out. And I think that, you know, of course he knows he's going to be indicted because mm-hmm. he was allegedly offered a plea deal that he turned down. So he knows it's coming.
Oh, he definitely does. And the fact that, again, he hasn't been spoken to yet or questioned yet, but everybody in his, vicinity has been. So you know that he is being looked at. And Julian Assange, I mean, the whole thing about Roger Stone saying, I'm having lunch with him and saying I met with him and then denying that he ever did. And I mean, there are so many questions there. And it all points to Trump having known that the Hillary Clinton emails were coming right after the meeting at Trump Tower. I mean, all these things just go together. It's like a giant jigsaw puzzle. Do you ever think, you know, Robert Mueller has it all laid out on a table or something and puts the pieces together? I always wonder.
Yeah, he's not the only one.
Right.
You know, it probably looks like Homeland in some regard.
Right.
You know, I've got when this all started, I bought one of those giant, you know, white paper pads that hangs on the wall,
uh-huh.
and you try to connect the dots and
right.
figure out how the spider web is all connected. But yeah, I mean it's all intertwined. There's different pieces to this puzzle. This is why it's taking so long, because we're not just talking about the hacking. We're talking about the meetings in the Seychelles. We're talking
right.
about the back channels. We're talking about the Trump Tower meeting in Trump Tower in Moscow. I mean, there were so many components to this. We're talking about, you know, why it is that Flynn talked to Kislyak about not retaliating for new sanctions, because there's some sort of promise in the works there. I mean, you have to remember that Bob Mueller's got receipts. I mean, prosecutors are not going to court saying this is what we suspect.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to court saying this is what we know.
Yep.
So he has communication. He probably has, at this point, Donald Trump's tax returns. He's got, you know, everything that he needs to prove the case in writing. He's not bringing these cases and these filings and these charges on a whim. He's got the cold, hard documentation. And so when you've got people saying it's a witch hunt, it's a lie, there's nothing there, you have to know who Robert Mueller is and what he does and how he does it. And this is a man whose entire life has been about service and honor and integrity, and he is not flying by the seat of his pants. This
right.
is somebody who is when he's ready to come out with it, he comes to the table with everything and lays it out and shows you he's got the proof. And so that's what we're finding here, is that the evidence that he's presenting through these indictments and these filings is cold, hard evidence. This is not assumption.
Right. Well, it does have the country captive, probably the world captivated, actually, as we wait to find out more. And Jackie Schechner, again, at investigaterussia.org, you're doing a great job keeping us informed. And again, pulling
Thank
together
you.
All these disparate parts and pieces. And again, it makes my brain hurt. While I've got you on the line, as I said earlier, I'd be remiss if I didn't at least mention while you're here that there's only a few days left to enroll in a health insurance plan on the healthcare exchanges if you get your insurance through Obamacare, which is how I get mine. And a lot of people, you know, mistakenly believe that Trump has already killed it. He's tried. He's killed aspects of it. He's made it more complicated where you can now buy junk insurance policies again. But there are still, the exchange is still open at healthcare.gov.
Yeah, I would encourage people, if you don't get health insurance through your job and you are looking for the most affordable option for you as an independent person who isn't working for a large company that offers you health insurance or any company that offers you health insurance,
hello.
We'd encourage you to sign up online. There are still some good plans. This is what I tell people. Look at the premium, how much they're going to charge you every month, and then also take a look at what your co-pays are. What your benefits are going to be, really dig in. It's not
deductible.
Easy. And it's going to take some time, but it's worth it. Because what you don't want to do is accept a plan with a very low premium where then on the flip side, you end up paying a lot out of pocket. You also don't want to accept a plan that doesn't cover the things that you need covered.
Exactly.
So now that there are junk insurance options back on the market, you have to be, I mean, it's so silly that he tore down these consumer protections because, you know, what the Affordable Care Act did was make it illegal for companies to sell you junk insurance. And then the Trump administration went and tore those protections away.
Yep.
So you have to be a stronger self-promoter at this point and a better consumer. And it's going to be more time consuming, but there still are options out there for you. And they stripped the budget to promote it.
Yep.
They're not doing any government push to get people to sign up for a private insurance plan.
Nothing.
Through the healthcare exchanges, but it is still available to you, and you certainly should take advantage of it if you don't have health insurance otherwise.
And the deadline is Saturday. Jackie Schechner, we are out of time.
True.
Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your expertise.
Always my pleasure, Nicole, of course.
Take care. Bye-bye.